You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
We're the Con Guys, as in Comic-Con, and this is the Con Guys Show, coming at you straight from the heart of Hollywood, California, with the news, celebrity interviews, and fun-loving opinions to help fuel your passions. We are your ultimate insiders, filmmakers, writers, actors, costumers, gamers, panelists, but most of all, we are fans. And whether it's sci-fi, collectibles, comic books, gaming, animation, cosplay, or fan conventions, if you love it, we cover it. Your behind-the-scenes look at all things con.
This broadcast
it's working.
Live.
We need that theme song, Ben.
Con Guy! It is the very first Con Guy. Happy hour of 2021. Hello, everybody! Hello.
Hello. Oh, Katie's lights are flashing.
That's exciting. It's exciting. Hey, my name is Jim Fry. I'm one of your co-hosts here on the Con Guy Show, also the editor-in-chief of theconguy.com. And when I say Con Guy, Con, for those of you who haven't been to the show before, Con as in Comic-Con, not convict, not a con man, Con Guy, Comic-Con.
Do we with have me, to- we get,
what's that say?
Are people really that confused? Do we have to explain that every time?
Yes, people.
I mean,
they're like, so
I never know when somebody can be listening for the first time.
I mean, after the whole, you know, Knights of Ren thing, maybe, yeah.
So Katie says we deserve it. All right. With me tonight, speaking of Katie, we have a great bunch of hosts here who and their contributors who want to wish you all a happy new year. We're going to start. You guys, introduce yourself. Start with Cheese.
Hey. Cheeseman here with theconguy.com, social media director. What's up?
All right. And to your other side.
Right. Hey, I'm Derek. I'm Derek Sams. I'm a regular on the Con Guy, contributing writer, and one of the co-hosts here.
Katie.
I'm Katie, aka the Con Girl, and I guess I am the solo Con Girl tonight since we don't have a Danae tonight. And yeah, I guess the more resident gamer. I mean, Ben is a little bit, but yeah. So
very slick,
Ben.
Hey, everybody, it's me, old buddy Ben. And it's 2021, and COVID is over. No.
Yeah, that's how it works, right?
It's worse than ever.
Slow it down.
No, happy 2021. I'm glad to be out of 2020. And maybe. Here's what I thought. I was thinking about this today. Jim, I was thinking about you today.
Oh,
what's going to happen?
No.
When all of this is over and we've all been inoculated and COVID gets relegated to, you know, the flu and things that come back every year and we've gotten used to, you know, the species has adapted, whatever. And we all go back to life similar to how it was in the before time, before 2020. What are we going to be back in the studio? Am I going to have to wear pants on the show? Because I'm sure as heck not wearing them now.
No pants. We don't need pants on the show.
We better
not. Waste up. Don't waste up.
I've grown accustomed to a certain type of lifestyle.
Why am I wearing jeans right now? I need my stretchy pants.
You know, Ben, that's a really good point. And we'll talk about that. But 2021 is still kind of a nebulous thing. Kind of like, what's it going to look like? What is normal? What's our new normal? Because we are very privileged to be part of that hashtag YouTube channel, and they have a great studio down there in El Segundo that the five of us together have not all been inside yet. Ben's been down there. Ben's been down there more than a few times. I've been down there once. Or was it twice? Just once.
That's one more than I have, so.
Yeah. So we look forward to whatever that day looks like. It'd be cool to get us all in a room again, you know, like where we can actually talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Derek, and when people ask me what, say what?
I said Derek and I can leg wrestle.
Of course. Without pants.
Exactly.
It's not my foot.
Derek, what were you saying?
I was going to say, when people ask what the future looks like, I just picture the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come from the Muppet Christmas Carol, because that's the best one. That's what the future looks like to me.
Is that the ghost that's the big, like, the big dead guy?
It's the transition.
Yeah, it's just a ghost figure. Yeah.
Well, listen, to everybody out there, thank you for tuning in to the Con Guy Happy Hour tonight. You can find us on the YouTube channel of that hashtag show, along with a bunch of other cool, very cool shows. They got shows about streaming, shows about wrestling, shows about sci-fi. They got us. Check them out. It's a lot of good stuff. Also, we are a part of the ESO Podcasting Network, available on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and wherever you subscribe to podcasts. And as always, you can always find us on theconguy.com. Tonight, this week, we are discussing the very first big-budget superhero movie to premiere in probably over a year, Wonder Woman 1984. And let me tell you, we've got opinions. Then we're going to look back briefly at 2020 and choose our favorite moments of the year because, yes, good things actually did happen in 2020. And then we're going to finish off our choices and just do a brief look forward to see about things that are kind of coming ahead in 2020, things we might be excited about. But first, real quick, how was everybody's holidays?
You know, it was different this year, certainly, in a lot of ways. But, you know, we still made it nice.
That's cool. What about you guys, Ben? How'd you guys celebrate?
Bree and I have pretty much stayed to ourselves in our house. And her parents live about 8 blocks away, and that's primarily why we've kind of been shutting off from the rest of the world. Right. And so her folks and us are kind of our bubble. Like it's just us four. So they came over for Christmas and that was nice. And yeah, it was like Derek said, very much different from most other years but very nice. Yeah, it was nice. I miss my family. I haven't seen my family in over a year, which sucks, but you know.
Oh, can I go again?
Yeah.
Sorry. I was just going to share some of the happy stuff too. Like, okay, as I've talked about, we have 3 small foster kids with us. Lara and I could not travel, not only because of all the COVID stuff, but because it was just going to be too hard with these 3 small children and making sure they got their visits with their biological mom, which we were able to see. They were able to see their mother on Christmas Day. We did stuff together with them. And also, like, between our foster agency and some other organizations that support foster families, we had a lot of gifts for these kids given to us, like just a whole bunch of stuff. And some of it it came to a point where it was more than we knew what to do with. And some stuff we've still got that we might just have to donate because it's, you know, a little old for these kids, but just piles of toys for them. And they're so little, they were a little distracted because they'd open one toy and just want to play with it. And we're like, oh no, you can open this too. Come on. There's more over here. But no, we'd rather fight over this one. And it was cute. It was great. We had matching pajamas for all of them. And a few nights before Christmas, we went driving around Burbank and Pasadena and seeing a bunch of the cool houses with lights and everything. And yeah, so even though it was different and tough, it was still a good Christmas, you know, remembering what Christmas is supposed to be about.
Yeah,
that's very cool. Very cool. And we just want to say hello, Mick Manhattan. One of the best names out there. Mick,
I think right up there with Bloodgood.
Yeah. Those are the 2 names we always have to say out loud every time they comment. Right.
Yeah. And Mick, he's got some good podcasts that he's involved with as well. Thank you for joining us tonight, my friend. It's really good to see you. Hey, Katie, what about you? How was your holiday?
Sorry, pardon me. I got something in my throat there for a second. So I was off on New Year's, which is only something that's happened the last 2 years. Up until then, I basically always worked New Year's, so that was different in and of itself. Because my sister and brother-in-law both had COVID recently, my parents had to quarantine, and so they were like, we're not gonna have Christmas with people we haven't been around, which I respect, you know, obviously. And obviously I'm working too. So, but we did meet up briefly in the Santa Clarita area, just to exchange my gifts, the rest of my gifts that I had for my sister, my brother-in-law, and my dad. And then they brought my sister's gifts to me. And then we just got lunch real quick. And then, like, I sat in the back seat of our car. So it was still, like, you know, a little bit distanced. But it was, like, a short trip. But I was happy to at least get a meal. Went to a really good burger place I had never been to and definitely going to go back because it was so good. Slater's 5050 or 5050 Slater's? I don't know which one it's called. Mm-hmm. But they
do a Slater's? Is that the first Slater's one?
Yeah, so they do they do a 50% bacon, 50% beef patty.
Mm-hmm. Oh my.
And wow. I got
it's what we call innovation right there.
It's like a a $15 burger cuz like a restaurant, but it was in the Westfield Mall up there in Santa Clarita. So you couldn't eat in the mall, of course, but you could get to go. So we did that. But it was good burger.
Their website has some amazing looking milkshakes too. Wow. No,
I did not try their milkshakes, but they apparently
That's
have
why
a
you're
Guinness,
still alive.
They have a Guinness milkshake that I want to try.
What?
That's cool. Well, that sounds awesome. I don't want to give any too many details, but I was able to see there's an alarm going off.
It's my new Apple Watch. Speaking of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I was able to spend some time with family, and that's all. That's all I need to say about it. It was great. Yes, there were some accommodations that had to be made, including parts of the family had to eat in the garage because they were exposed to COVID and they could not be come around my mother and father. I was the one. I'm like, it's not going to happen. And if my mom's watching tonight, Mom, thank you for cooperating. That's the way things have to be. We're protecting you. So, but I had a great time. I had a fantastic time. And also, I got this from Katie. Ooh. Thank you so much.
Wait,
for those of you who are just listening, Katie, she got me a really cool Funko Godzilla game set. It's the thing, even if you don't play the game, oh my gosh, this is so cool. It's got these fantastic, well, you can't see through the bag. It's got Mothra, King Ghidorah, Godzilla himself.
Oh, I like that Godzilla piece.
Yeah, the Godzilla piece. It's the thing is, I like it because it's old school Godzilla. I don't like the new Godzilla, but I love old school Godzilla. And this, Katie could not have known that she was going to do this, but she got me. This one has a character that Godzilla fought called Megalon. Let me show that real close.
He's got a
very first movie I saw as a child. My very first Godzilla movie was Godzilla versus Megalon. And it's really cool because I remember I went to the theaters to see it, and it was on TV 2 days later. So man, what you going to do? So I guess it wasn't that great of a movie. But let me go back to – there we go. Yeah. So, Katie, thank you so much for that. I can't wait to play this. We can all get together again sometime, you know, in the future.
On game night.
We will play this. And, Ben, I know you got one too.
I did. It's in the other room. I'm not going to take the time to go run and get it. But
no worries.
Katie also, a Christmas elf came and dropped off some gifts at my house today. And one of them was a gift I had purchased through Katie for my wife, which was Katie had showed us hers the other day, well, a couple weeks ago on the show, which was the, how tall is it? 10 inches?
Yeah.
10 inch chromed out Mandalorian Funko Pop.
Nice.
Which
with the child, holding the child,
which my wife freaked out about. She loves that. Thank you very much, Katie. Brianna extends her thanks to you. As well as Katie got us a Funko Game of Thrones strategy game with like little mini Funko Pop figures as the as part of it. It's like it's super cute and really cool, and it said for 2 to 4 players. So Bri and I are like, we can play this alone in our house. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's actually two. So that particular game, they have them for lots of different fandoms. With Game of Thrones was like one of the more recent ones, and they also have two player and 4 player for all of them. So you know, if we have a 2 player one, like Harry Potter has a 2 player one and 4 player one, we always tell people if you don't want to commit to the 4 player game, it's a little bit more pricey. You can try the 2 player one, and then they do different characters in the 4 packs. So like if you want to extend your Harry Potter collection, there's no repeat characters. And they're also interchangeable. So, like, Ben, if they release another Game of Thrones one, you can interchange the characters. It's kind of like, I think, similar to, like, how Villainous, you can add, change characters and just disperse them. So, yeah.
Very cool. Well, thank you very much,
Kate. You're welcome.
Merry Christmas.
And Cheeseman, before we start into Wonder Woman, I know that you have some cool stuff to, some cool Christmas treasures that you got.
Yeah, if we're doing that now, I'll try to go as quickly as possible because I just got so much to share. But since we're talking Hades stuff,
I'm going to take a 20-minute break while
we do that first.
Yeah.
So I got this game.
Nice.
And I literally, when she dropped it off, I sat with the little Hill Valley board in my lap for probably 20 minutes just playing with the little car and
describing
the clock tower and everything.
What's the name of it, Luke?
It's the Back to the Future Funko game.
Nice.
Back in time.
Yeah. It has like a pop-up version of the clock tower. And so Luke set it up on top of the board game and then was playing with a little DeLorean on the board game. So
yep. That's cool.
Well, speaking of DeLorean, a lot of Back to the Future being a 35th anniversary thing. So I got myself, my mom got me this. I got more toys than probably my sister's kids. This is the remote control car of the DeLorean that they were selling at Target and probably some other websites as well. It's actually kind of a smaller car, but it actually operates pretty good. So I will be playing with that at some point.
During the podcast.
More Back to the Future. Got the 4K came out recently.
Nice.
And there was an exclusive version that had a floating hoverboard. So I haven't opened it yet to see what it looks like, but there's a magnetic floating hoverboard in this, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
So, and digital copies, everything. Got Blu-ray, 4K, and digital. And then... Now, NECA did a really good job with a lot of these Back to the Future toys. So
packaging. That's hysterical.
Look at this. Mm-hmm. So this is the Biff Tannen figure and has switchable heads and everything. But they were selling these at Target and many other toy stores recently. And then I also got this
Sports Almanac box. I just think that's
hysterical. I know.
Yeah, I love that.
I know. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And then Back to the Future 2 got Marty with his hoverboard. In the 2015 clothing, and I do have, I think I already showed on the show, I have the part one Marty as well. So I just need to get the dog.
For those of you who are just listening, the Biff Tannen box that Luke held up, me and Katie were geeking out because it's inside a farmer's almanac book, or just like from the movie. It's just fantastic.
The almanac,
sports almanac.
At the farmer, but Luke, on the inside, is it ooh la la?
On a side
note, I wish it did.
While Luke is getting this stuff, I have a question for you guys, and chat can answer too. What is one type of vehicle or transportation that is fictional that if there was one mode of transportation you could use that is fictional, what would it be?
Does TARDIS. That make
sense? Okay, TARDIS.
The
swoop bike, Return of the Jedi.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I can't. I don't even know. I like maybe the Star Trek. When you disappear and what's that called?
It's the transporter.
The transporter.
I mean, beaming.
Yeah.
But the.
Yeah, beam me up, Scotty. That's. I think I'd like that, except for it makes sure all of your particles go away and come back together. So, what else you got, Chase?
So I also collect these. There's a lot of good Phantoms with Hallmark. We've shown some that I got already from the 2020, but last year, but. I got more. I'm sure the group here will especially love this one. We got the child.
That was probably the most popular one of the season, I'll bet.
Yeah. And it's a pretty big ornament too. Like it's almost the size of an actual ornament ball. Like it's a good size ornament. It's really nice looking and still in the Star Wars kind of realm. They got this, the X-Wing Starfighter.
That really
the Yoda that's got all the kind of,
it's Luke's starfighter that sunk on Dagobah. It has all the vines and junk on it. That's cool.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Also in Last Jedi.
And a tiny little Ant-Man.
Great. Life size.
Yeah.
Life-sized Ant-Man, which will be perfect. Classic 1960s Batman Penguin. They do yearly ones. And I also got the Batman deal. Yeah,
Burgess Meredith.
And then I got a couple Christmas story ones. Got the leg lamp that actually lights up.
Classic.
And then I got, and look in the hole type thing. So
a triple dog dare.
Triple dog dare. So I got two more.
No, that has to be one of my favorite movie scenes of all time.
Oh, I love it.
And Tony's most heroic moment where he's got the stones, the Infinity Stones in his glove, and I am Iron Man moment. So I had to get the final end game ornament of Iron Man's last big moment.
Spoiler warning, Iron Man's final heroic deed before it's done.
Although I saw he did an interview with Chris Pratt and he had the Iron Man facial hair recently.
And it's possible he could be in cameos where they go back in the past and stuff.
That's true. Yeah.
Like I feel they may do something with this multiverse.
Multiverse and everything, I wouldn't be surprised.
Or he maybe just wears that facial hair now for fun anyway.
And maybe he's a lot of people are using Cameo during the quarantine to do fan experiences. It's possible he's doing stuff like that too.
Yep.
So Tony may be back.
What's that last one you got there?
This is the Stranger Things, the Demogorgon.
The Demogorgon.
Nice.
So yeah, the first one, and plus got another Back to the Future shirt, of course.
Oh my gosh, how much more?
Spider-Man shirt.
Wait,
show long way.
All right.
However I rotate that. Star Wars shirt.
Nice.
Just kept going. Another Back to the Future shirt.
Oh, good gracious.
You got two of them.
Yeah, can't have too many.
Got this nice Jaws-looking The End sign for the Tiki Bar. A Jurassic Park shirt. Mm-hmm. Mom, thank you.
My mom gave it to him.
And then she got me some Santa Jaws socks.
That's funny.
All right. Is that good?
It's good for now. I was going to open the box of stuff I got when I ordered on the show on our Black Friday one, but I can do that at the end of the show
to spread this out. Yeah, yeah.
It's been a while.
Luke just geeked out on this Christmas. That's fantastic.
Does anybody else have show and tell?
You, Ben?
No.
I mean, I have a webcam. I got a new webcam. So
we'll turn the camera around and show it to you.
Yeah. We can't see that one. Okay.
My Twitch viewers have told me that they can notice it's different, but because it's 1080p. So nice. Before I was using my iMac. So.
All right. So, Ben.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, right. My mom. Yeah, I got to interrupt again, but my mom got Lara and me the Charms and Potions expansion to Hogwarts Battle, which is one of our favorite games. It's the one we're the most addicted to, and we've been playing this obsessively lately.
Is it on PlayStation?
Whatever nights. No, it's, Hogwarts Battle is a deck-building tabletop game.
Oh, the actual tabletop. Yeah. That's what you meant earlier. Okay. No, earlier you said Spider-Man. My bad.
Oh, yeah. We were playing Spider-Man on PlayStation tonight while we were waiting. But yeah, Charms and Potions expansion is a lot of fun. You get extra charms abilities for your characters, and then you've got like a potions board where you can collect potions ingredients and get potions that you collect to go with, of course, all the other cards you've been collecting. And you've got new villains. You've got villains like Rita Skeeter and Cornelius Fudge that you didn't have before. It's good. It's a good game.
Thanks.
You guys, Hogwarts Battle is an amazing game. Even if you're not a big Harry Potter fan, if you like anything nerdy, if you're into any kind of strategy gaming, it's amazing.
Not a Harry Potter fan at all. No, not.
Yeah, I know you're not, Katie. No, we'll work on that. Yeah.
Just like Ben's not a Star Wars fan,
hate Star Wars.
I hate Back to the Future, and Jim hates Godzilla,
I hate Godzilla. So, Ben, I have a question. Before we jump, since we're talking DCU, the DC universe, I have a question. If you could clear up some confusion that some people have, and confusion which I have. Holy confusion, Batman. There's three Batman. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. So the author's name escapes me off the top of my head, which is disrespectful as a journalist, but I apologize. It came out a couple days ago. It was released that different news sources were reporting off of a tweet, essentially, that we already know Michael Keaton has signed on to come back and play his version of Bruce Wayne / Batman in the Flash movie, which is going to be apparently somewhat loosely based off of the Flashpoint storyline from DC Comics. And then people were taking off of a tweet saying, oh, so Robert Pattinson and Michael Keaton are going to be the two Batmen of the DCEU, the film multiverse, moving forward, and Ben Affleck is going to go away. And then essentially the guy that tweeted it initially, again, I can't remember his name. I'm awful. Anyway, he came back and he's like, hey, I was moving for a couple days and wasn't getting on Twitter. I never said Michael Keaton was doing more than this movie. So essentially what it seems like now is that Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton, and possibly Robert Pattinson will all appear as Batman in the Flash movie, which again is based on Flashpoint, which is a multi-universal storyline with different universes colliding from the DC Comics universe. Mm-hmm. But I guess a lot of people were going off saying, oh, Michael Keaton's going to go forward with more movies in the DC EU, which is the movie universe. And apparently that might not be the case. So it sounds like now we've definitely got Michael Keaton in the Flash movie. Robert Pattinson is going to have his own line of Batman movies projected. Ben Affleck's last appearance as Batman is going to be in The Flash. So we'll have Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck in The Flash. Not 100% sure about Pattinson in The Flash, but that's about where we're at. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they had multiple Batmans in the Crisis on Infinite Earths show this last season.
Well, yeah.
Too, or multiple Supermans, my bad, not Batman. So, like,
right.
It'll be like the second time they've had multiple, like, I mean, in the Batwoman episode and all those crossovers this year, they mm-hmm. had Tom Welling come back mm-hmm. As Superman. They had Brandon Routh come back as Superman. And they had the voice. What? Was it the
Why
voice?
Why still on the screen? Where's Katie up here?
Okay, he's zoned out. It's okay. And then I think the original voice was the voice of Superman? I can't, not Superman, sorry, Batman. Batman was in it as well. So, because we in Batwoman, you have not seen the DCEU, DC TV side of Batman. He hasn't been shown yet. So they went backwards and showed a different Batman. So, yeah.
I just now looked it up. It said Michael Keaton and Robert Pattinson will both take on roles of the Caped Crusader in separate films in 2022. And Ben Affleck, he put on the cowl again for the Snyder Cut. So we're gonna see.
That's the same movie that already came out. So
it's the same movie that already came out, but he's gonna be in one more film, one more of the, like Ben was saying, the DC Cinematic Universe, DCCU films. And
the cinematic DC universe is actually called the DCEU, the DC mm-hmm. Expanded Universe, I think.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. But I think the smart thing that they're doing is they're like, oh wow, we've had a lot of bad press and bad backlash from this universe building of movies that we were trying to do, where they were trying to build a multi-film franchise similar to what Marvel did with the MCU. But there's been so much vitriol. There's been so much, some people love it, some people hate it. A lot of crazy stuff. Anyway, so what they're doing now is they're incorporating, and they started it on the TV shows, and they're incorporating the concept of the multiverse mm-hmm. to kind of course correct and be like, oh, now we have a different Batman, but we're not changing the overall storyline because it's parallel universes, which has been present in both Marvel and DC Comics for decades now. And in fact, in the 90s, there were a couple of crossovers where Marvel and DC crossed over with each other.
I'm still waiting for that. I know it won't happen, but still.
It's happened. It happened in the 80s too.
Marvel being what they are, I don't think that that would ever happen.
You never know.
Unless Disney buys Warner Brothers.
Yeah, just the whole Sony thing is surprising. I mean, look how long it took just Sony, who still had Marvel entities to go together.
Does anybody want to see Batman with Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, and George Clooney in the same kind of multiverse?
I'm not sure how I'd handle that.
I don't know.
I think it depends on how they do it. I think you have to do it in a comedic way.
I am interested to see Matt Reeves' Batman, though, with Robert Pattinson. That one, I guess, it's a standalone. It's all by itself. It's not connected to any of these other things. But like you said, Ben, maybe he is going to show up in the multiverse. Whoa. Something. Flashpoint.
Yeah. That Flashpoint movie, though, that's gone through a couple of directors now, and that's all over the place. So we'll, with DC movies now, we just gotta, I'm just waiting until they get released, and then I'm gonna see what it is, because I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Speaking of which, let's rewind to the 1980s, as Wonder Woman's next big screen adventure finds her facing two all-new foes, Max Lord.
And Big Brother.
And the Cheetah.
Oh, yeah.
It starred Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, Diana Prince, or Wonder Woman / Diana Prince, Chris Prime as Steve Trevorrow, Kristen Wiig as Barbara Minerva, and Pedro Pascal, a.k.a. The Mandalorian, as Maxwell Lord. We're going to do something here that... And I was myself and Derek, you as well, and Luke, we were all in the screenwriting program where the first thing we do is it's called the Circle of Love. We always go around and we talk about the stuff we appreciated that we saw. Because let's just put it honestly, there's been all kinds of opinions about this movie, and we're going to give you those opinions. We're going to be very honest. But, here's $300 million just spent. Let's talk about some of the things that were there.
Yeah.
A little bit of the money well spent. So anyways, guys, I want to know your impressions. Wonder Woman 1984, take it.
Are we only doing the things we like right now? So we are, right?
Circle of Love.
We are doing spoilers. We are doing spoilers because we are drilling down into this movie tonight. Spoiler alert. All right. Katie, I would love to know what you thought. Because you and
I know what I thought, but then also say what I loved about it, right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Start with what you love. We'll get to more serious thoughts later.
Yeah. So I liked it. I didn't love it, but I don't love pretty much any DC movie with the exception of Shazam. So with this movie, what I particularly loved, and my roommate knows because I was commenting on it all the time, just like I do with almost every movie I see, the costuming. Obviously it's the side of the 80s that everybody does. There's more to the 80s than what they showed. I get that. But it is what the cliche everybody else knows of the 80s, with the bright colors, the pink. But aside from that, I love the costuming in the sense that it told its own story as well, which I, as a costume designer, am able to tell, but not other people are able to tell. And Diana looked amazing, but I don't think we ever thought she wouldn't. But in particular, there was a good use of like color. The color said a lot in this movie. So that's what I liked about it. And then there was another, I forgot what the other scene was, but the scene with Steve trying to decide like what to wear, I thought was really funny. And the other thing I liked aside from costuming is the chemistry that Diana and Steve still have. And I think that is one of the better parts of both the movies, is they have good chemistry. There's other problems and all that stuff, which I'm sure we'll get into, but that I think their performance was my favorite part aside from the costumes and the overall brightness of it, because DC is usually so dark, and I appreciated that this was not so dark.
That's true. And let me just say, Jonathan says he got a haircut for Christmas. Way for you. Good for you, Jonathan. And hey, Stephanie Lee Samuel, a friend of ours and a really good friend of Luke's, she loved the opening sequence, said it was really fun.
Yeah.
Who wants to go next?
I'll jump in on this. I thought, like, even though, you know, there was a lot of cheese and stuff, it was, like Katie said, the brightness was fun. And I could appreciate that they set a tone at the beginning and stuck with that style. Do you know what I mean? Like that whole, after that opening sequence on Themyscira, we're in the mall and she's stopping a crime. And it gets like cheesy, fun superhero style, you know, with her like lassoing a little girl and sliding her across the floor into a giant teddy bear to keep her safe. Mm-hmm. Like that's silliness, but it's silliness done in a way that like it's intentional and they kind of know what they're doing. And it's just, and they were able to be pretty consistent with that, I think, which I enjoyed. Also, I thought all the performances were great. I think, I love Pedro Pascal. I mean, who doesn't like Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman? She is brilliant in it, and Chris Pine was great. And I love the score still, like that Wonder Woman theme music and the way it, I mean, of course it was in new ways. It's a new movie. But yeah. And then there were a lot of moments like, okay, I'm not getting into negative stuff yet, but there were things that we were still criticizing, but Lara was even tearing up at one point because it was a sweet moment, even though, you know, I had a lot of criticisms about it.
Which moment?
I teared up too.
At the end when Max Lord is back with his son and hugging him.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was so funny because Lara was like, I still hate this movie. And she was wiping her eyes. Yeah.
Well, just because someone hits you in the feels, it doesn't necessarily mean that makes the movie good as a whole. So right.
That's true.
Yeah.
But the movie wasn't. Yeah, there were good aspects. Oh, and to Katie's point about like the costume changing scene and stuff, I did enjoy this idea that, you know, in the first movie, she was the fish out of water and he was introducing her into the world. And it was a role reversal this time.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
And that scene with all the costume swaps and stuff was just this flip of the one that she had in the first movie of trying on all the outfits. So it was a really fun just role reversal for that, with them still being, you know, pretty true to the characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
My camera died again. Sorry. Now I'm just frozen image.
He's pondering a long
pondering. While this thing reboots up, we'll see if it works again.
Right. Well, let me tell you what I liked about this. Or Luke, do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll say a few things. Okay. A few things. Just kidding. I really liked her as Wonder Woman. Like, I wanted more of her dressed up in the Wonder Woman, just being like a badass out there doing all her scenes and stuff. When she was out there doing her action scenes, I just like it really, you know, the first movie was so good. And when they'd start doing that, I'm like, oh, okay, this feels good again. Like when they get back to her doing all their stuff and then showing kind of like her using her weapons more, and then in the sky, the invisible plane, all that kind of stuff. I mean, so much of kind of the throwbacks and different things they did. I really liked when she was like Wonder Woman. And I did like the chemistry, and having Chris Pine back, the Steve character, was good as well. And then the surprise Easter egg, which I think we'll talk probably more about later, was such
was the best
part of the movie. That the little end credit thing was.
Yeah. I was going to say, here's what I loved about this movie so much. Mm-hmm. Can we just say Linda Carter? That made me so happy. I am a full decade or more older than all of you guys. I watched with my family the Linda Carter Wonder Woman first run on television in the 70s. And my goodness, she looks amazing. She's made a deal with the devil. She has not aged. She's just beautiful.
Well, you could say with a god, probably in this sense, but
But that was, to me, that was a surprising thing. It surprised me. I think I read last year that she was on set, but I forgot. And so when I saw Linda Carter, wow, it just made me happy.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic. There was a lot about it. Like, just like Luke said, a lot to like. And Luke, I'm sorry, I interrupted you if you had more.
That was the main thing. I just really liked seeing Wonder Woman as Wonder Woman. And especially that car scene that they did kind of towards the middle of the movie, I think really kind of showed her in her element and almost kind of had that Winter Soldier type, opening type scene. I kind of like, we were watching it with another friend of ours, JJ, and he's like, oh, dude, this should have been like the opening scene right here to really show her being kind of the badass she is, you know, going through kind of the first movie. And now over all these years, she's even more skilled at her combat and just being in this world and now kind of owning it and everything.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of Captain America in the sense Steve reminds me of Steve Rogers a little bit, like finding everything new for the first time and everything. Like, I'm seeing parallel. I also thought of Indiana Jones, but Indiana Jones is obviously way better. But I also thought of Indiana Jones at the beginning of the movie. So
I thought of the Indiana Jones scene during the big the Egypt truck scene. That was
He
was underneath the truck.
Freeze again?
I'm still hearing audio.
Okay.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, like still has a very pleasant look.
Yeah.
When she got underneath the truck and she was underneath it, just like Indy was underneath it being dragged along the dirt road. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is cool. It's like Indy.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like Indy's. Indy didn't flip the truck up on its front side and go sailing over the front. That was.
Yeah.
So they did some of that well. And Katie and I did have a talk a little bit. We talked a little bit today.
Yeah.
And And we're going to get a little bit more into like some of our feelings about like the stuff that didn't work for the movie.
Well, wait, can I say what I liked about it? My visual is frozen, but my audio is still here. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I had one more thing I liked, and it's that at first I was a little bit taken by the plot and stuff, but I think it did. The plot was trying to be a throwback to 78 light, fluffy Linda Carter era Wonder Woman. So that once I thought about it that way, I was like, huh. So this was an episode of the Linda Carter Wonder Woman. So I kind of like that. All right, Ben, let's hear what you thought.
I agree that I do think there was a lot to like with this movie. I think there was a lot to like in this movie. I liked a lot of parts. Yes, highlight my frozen screen. I liked a lot of parts of this movie. And I really liked Kristen Wiig as Cheetah. And I did. I actually liked her as the villain more than Pedro Pascal. And I thought Pedro did a great job. And I'll address that in the next segment. But I mean, to echo Derek's words, I love Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. I love her as Diana. I think she was great. I love her in the scenes where she is Wonder Woman. I really liked the opening scene with her as a child competing in the mm-hmm. you know, the obstacle course or whatever you want to call it. Another really, really great thing that I enjoy was not necessarily part of the movie. It was the aftermath of the movie. Oh, I liked the Linda Carter cameo as well. I like that. I know apparently people are split on that, but I enjoyed it.
No.
People are split. Look at this.
Yeah, I'm with you, Stephanie.
Stephanie's on the split team.
Oh, no.
Like, at that point, I mean, we'll get into the criticisms later, but like that toward the, as the movie progressed, there were more and more things we were complaining about watching it. And then that happened, and I was just like, no, why would you do this?
That's the only thing I liked. Oh, sorry. Go.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't like a lot about the movie, and then that part made me like it a little bit more. But I like the other side of it, where there is this now the result of Wonder Woman 84. It's been forever that you've got a great director and a great leading actor who are both male, and they make a shitty superhero movie and people hate it, and they're immediately greenlit for another superhero movie. Mm-hmm. And if you get a great director and a female lead and they make a shitty superhero movie, they're like, well, nobody wants to see female-led superhero movies. But you've got a great female director in Patty Jenkins. You've got a great female lead in Gal Gadot. They made what's maybe not a shitty movie, but like a very controversial as far as whether people liked it or not superhero movie, and they immediately got green lit for a Wonder Woman 3. And that's kind of this nice breaking the glass ceiling moment, because you didn't have any executives being like, well, I guess nobody likes Wonder Woman now. But I think it's also part of like people were just stoked about this movie because the first one was so good, and this one had so many good parts and so much potential. But as we're going to get into in the next segment, the mortar holding it together was just non-existent. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll talk more in a little bit. I'm going to keep trying to get my camera to work here, but those are the things that I liked.
More positive than a New Day pancake. More fun than a super kick party. It's the Wrestling Podcast from the host, who is the hammer swinging, burrito eating. Well, you know the rest of Thunder Talk. Sexy Thor. It's the Ring of Thunder, found in the Thunderverse and among the great podcasts of the ESO Network.
There's a little bitty things I missed, and then I thought, no, I don't want to watch it again. So that's my reaction, and I agree. I love Kristen Wiig. Man, I love her. She shines in almost anything she does. I agree that I do like the development of her character, how she became this very angry person, or this jealous person. She wasn't as angry, she was jealous. And I thought that was well done. But we saw her become Cheetah. We timed it at 2 hours and 6 minutes into the movie. Mm-hmm. That's not enough for me. That's not enough. That's just I can't wait for long. So I'm going to think, guys, I want to see what you think. Well, where did it fall down for you guys? So,
well, let's talk about her for a second. Yeah. Okay, are you going to talk about her too, Katie?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to kind of echo a little bit off of that. And it's not that we haven't seen this happen before. I mentioned it earlier when we were talking is, you know, Spider-Man did it where they introduced a character, barely had a minute, and people hated it. I think it honestly comes down to adding too many villains and not giving enough time with each of them. Obviously, it's great having multiple villains because they are related and it is related to the same scenario, but she did not get the moment that she deserved. Because, you know, when I heard, you know, Kristen Wiig, she's gonna be Cheetah. And I don't know a lot about Wonder Woman, but you know, I still know like she's the villain. I was expecting her to be in at least like half the movie as Cheetah. So when she was only in the final act, I was like, all right, wasn't there supposed to be like a big thing? Like, wasn't she supposed to be more of a big deal than that? So yeah, kind of like a little bit wasted opportunity a little bit.
Mm-hmm. She was very much, she seemed almost more like a distraction in the movie, and Cheetah doesn't deserve that. Cheetah and both Cheetah, the character, and Kristen Wiig, the actress, deserve much better than that. Yeah. I really thought you could have. Hello? What?
You want no distraction. Pedro Pascal.
Bring her in. Bring her in.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yes,
bring her in.
Come on.
We want to hear it. She's got a thing.
Pedro Pascal was set up as the main villain, but he was completely unnecessary. And. Yep. And they set up Cheetah as kind of like, oh, the side quest, when she should have been the main show. And Pedro Pascal's character was not necessary. You could have had the whole Wish storyline with just Cheetah and the Wishing Stone. You didn't need Pedro in there going and buggering up all the planet with
and
all
kinds of
weird stuff.
I don't want to take away from the representation that people got with having Pedro in the movie, but I really feel like they could have used him better. And Cheetah is supposed to be Wonder Woman's arch nemesis. You could have done so much more. Yeah.
They got along too well throughout it for a while.
Hey, I do, well, while we have Bree, I really want to hear her opinion.
Yeah. We want more.
The TLDR for my opinion of Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is one of my all-time favorite superheroes. And I am such an easygoing person when it comes to superhero movies. I don't even hate the Star Wars sequel trilogy. Like, it's all macaroni and cheese to me. Like, just give it to me. I will consume it. However, this movie, I want the 2.5 hours of my life back. I did not enjoy it. I kept yelling at the TV, and at one point, like, we watched it with my folks, and my folks are like, what is going on? And I was like, no, we are going to finish this movie, because if I am going to dislike
what is going on?
I was like, if I am going to dislike it, I am going to be able to tell you why I dislike it. I'm going to finish this movie. So it had a lot of issues. Did y'all get to the whole, are we doing spoilers about the Trevor business?
I haven't talked about that.
Most hated part was the Steve Trevor possession. Why did he have to possess somebody else?
Yeah,
it's a wish. He could have showed up, and I would have bought it.
The whole thing of
and there was no explanation as to why it was that guy.
Yeah, you're in somebody else's body.
Weird.
You're in somebody else's body, but all I see is you. What? Come on, dude.
Yeah. That was weird. And the fact, isn't it a little
raping?
I'm noticing so many consent issues in media right now that's really popular, like consent issues in Wonder Woman. Spoiler alert, trigger warning, consent issues in Bridgerton. Like, can we stop doing that?
The camera's slowing down. The camera's slowing down.
Oh, no.
Oh, there we go.
Okay. You're back.
That's where I'm at. I was horribly disappointed, but that is all to say, we have reached the point where, what am I saying?
It's definitely a rapey.
I agree. I will say, though, with a failure of a movie and they already greenlit number 3, we are at the point where a woman can fail just as much as a man and still get ahead in life. So, that, I will take it. I will give them another shot with Wonder Woman 3 because we get shitty male superhero movies all the time and they just keep shoving them in our faces. But we're on the same page. That's why I'm here.
She was the screenwriter on it. I don't distrust her at all as a director. I think she's an excellent director, but I don't know if it was, I can't point fingers at who the problem with the script was, but I think her with another great script will do an exceptional film.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Like I was saying after we watched it.
Adventures. Like, give me that.
No, but Wonder Woman's in like our world. That's the whole thing.
I know, but like I want more of the Themyscira stuff. Like I want to see like more of her relationship with Aunt Diapie. Well, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just
I agree with Brie. I the best part of the movie was the island. That was the
I'd
best
be down. Part. I'd be so down given how much I love like mythology and everything. I feel like all that would be super entertaining and the costuming would be on point. I mean, I'm all for it.
Yeah. In the comics, Wonder Woman would fight with the Titan, the great Greek Titans and stuff. Let's go there. Let's do some cool stuff like that.
Yeah.
This,
yeah,
well, that to me felt almost. Everyone's talking about how much the 80s costumes was great. To me, as an old guy who grew up in the 80s, it looked like they were trying too hard. It was too much.
And no, I agree with you there.
The other thing I thought of, like, the fact that this took place in the 80s had pretty much no bearing on the story whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like, you did not need to set it in the 80s apart from just trying to, like, latch onto some kind of nostalgia thing.
Yeah.
Now,
they didn't do very well, in my opinion, besides the costuming.
That they were trying to remove it from Justice League.
I guess.
Ryan, what?
Everybody knows your name.
Everybody knows your name.
We're splitting that Linda Carter cameo.
What? I loved it. No,
that's my part.
That was
my part. I liked it.
I screamed.
I did too. I jumped up on the
Mandalorian. It's like the.
I'm glad you guys were happy.
Yeah, Derek didn't like it, and neither did Stephanie in the comments.
Well, you know, Derek's allowed to be wrong.
Let's so are you okay
Katie
okay well you guys are talking about the last scene, which I liked, the you know, the end of credit scene or mid-credit scene. I personally did not like the last actual scene of the movie where she has another encounter with the guy who Steve inhabited. I thought it was so creepy, and it also did not feel like a natural scene. It felt awkward. I did not like that scene. I would have been much happier had they just been like, he's no longer there. She never sees him again. It just felt really uncomfortable.
I thought the scene where she and Steve said goodbye to each other and she went off, I thought that was really well done.
Yes, that was great.
Yeah, done that without him being in somebody else's body.
He still just got lost in the crowd and disappeared.
I don't get why they needed to have him body swap. That's like the weirdest thing.
Body swaps!
Well, one thing that Luke and I were doing is like we would stop. Although I like the opening scene, it felt like it went on too long. Mm-hmm. In the same way, like when you have a movie and you're trying to get to the main point of the movie, it's called you breaking out of act one, you're going into act two. This one didn't occur until like an hour into the film. It took that long for me to even kind of figure out, okay, this is what they want to do. Like, what's the goal of Diana and Steve? What is it they want to go get and do? And it took way too long to get to that. And then I forgot, we stopped at 1 hour and 20 minutes. And I forgot what that was the first time since the mall. That was when Wonder Woman broke out and started fighting again. And we're like, yes, we finally get her to be badass again. And our
that was the car scene, right?
Yeah, the car scene. We were like, start the movie here. And this is great. And then, I don't know. That was bizarre to me.
That was the thing. So it's the opening scene on Themyscira with the obstacle course or whatever. That was one that like Patty Jenkins like fought for that scene, because I think the studio wanted to get rid of that one.
Oh, wow.
But I watched that and I was like, this is great. I love the opening scene on Themyscira. And then they went to the mall scene, which was fun. But I was like, we had an opening scene and now we have another opening scene.
It felt like she's fighting Harry and Mar from Home Alone, like those weird looking dudes that she was fighting.
Oh, you mean at the mall?
Yeah.
The mall was more like Home Alone, yes. You're fighting the goofy crooks.
And I get that you wanted to then establish like, oh, now this is her life in the 80s in Washington. Yeah. But I feel like you didn't need two opening scenes to do that. No. Do another scene, you know, at the beginning of at the end of the first act or something where she's heroic. I don't know, but you had an opening scene and then another opening scene, and then she wasn't Wonder Woman for another hour. Like,
I would have been okay seeing her just like in the museum doing like curatory stuff. And then, you know, she's like recognizes something on the, I thought there was going to be a lot more with that whole underground ring. And I was like, ooh, we're going to come back to this. And then we just never heard about it again.
I loved all that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she's like Indiana Jones and stuff like in this museum. And I was all for it. And then I was just like, what's happening?
Yeah. Somebody posted a meme about like, you know, this person's going to turn out to be a villain if they're wearing glasses and somebody bumps into them and they drop all their papers on the ground. And then they'd like showed a picture of like Jim Carrey from Batman Forever. Michelle Pfeiffer from Batman Returns. All these different characters. Batman and Robin, Uma Thurman and Batman and Robin. Like they're all like characters. That somebody bumps into him, they drop all their papers on the ground, and then they have
and to. And that turns them evil.
She legit has glasses too.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But a good observation.
But it's kind of a trope that we all enjoy.
I mean,
maybe Bree, don't bump into Ben right now.
Everybody wants that she's all that moment with these characters.
I mean, people love to hate it, but I love that movie. So.
There you go, Katie. There you go. What about the okay? I want to dig a little bit more in and just. Some of the things that did not work, for example, they had way too many of these airy. How do I describe it? When she's, you know, this okay, this is what I described to Katie today. The original movie of Aladdin, the animated version, when they're on the red carpet and we're on the flying carpet and flying around the world, and that's like a breath of fresh air moment where you're like, oh, it seems like this movie tried to insert like four or five of those moments, just like. Oh, we're in the plane. Isn't this beautiful in the fireworks? And then the next time, oh, I'm flying. I'm looking at clouds. And then the next time, oh, we're out by the... It just works too many of those. And it made the... It kept on making the narrative seem longer and longer. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say, give us that nice Hallmark moment. But then, like, let's cut to what's supposed to be happening.
Yes, that's what happens when a director is in charge instead of having a good script by an established writer who knows story. Yeah. It's you have a whole lot of things like that a director wanted to have on film. She wanted to have cool fight scenes. You know, it looked like she wanted to have, oh, let's do the 80s. And we can just put signs everywhere that says, hey, it's the 80s. Isn't that fun? Yeah. And all those scenes that you're talking about, like the fireworks over DC and the invisible jet. I mean, it looked cool, really cheesy. But but yeah. And then, of course, and then like the red balloon at the end, she's like, oh, look at how artistic I am. And I was just kind of like, oh, come on, what Patty.
I was thinking the red balloon. Isn't that, was the Macy's balloon, which usually has the words, I believe on it at Christmas time.
So well, I thought it was a reference to like, you know, the red balloon, like the old foreign film.
Okay. La Ballon Rouge. Ballon.
Yeah, thank you.
Ballon.
Oh. Non, ballon.
It just felt way too pretentious. What this movie should have been.
No, I know.
Why did we get the 4th of July and Christmas in one movie? Oh. And then also, if we're going to get the invisible jet, she just lost it and parked it somewhere and just because it was invisible, couldn't find it again? Because we never saw it. Again.
And then she figured out, oh, I can fly. And then picks up an armor that has wings, which she no longer needs because she just learned how to fly. But somehow, 30 years later, when she showed up in BBS, she doesn't fly anymore.
Okay, but she looked, that costume though, like...
The armor was cool, but yeah. There's a lot of stuff like the jet scene with the fireworks. Cool scene, and that would have been the perfect one for what Jim was talking about of that breath moment if you didn't have any of the other ones.
Yeah.
But the other side of that is like, you know what? Flying a plane's basically the same from the 19-teens to the 1980s, right?
Yeah.
Like he can just jump in a plane and fly a supersonic jet after flying prop planes in World War I. What are you kidding me? That was shoehorned in. But the scene there in the jet, and then she like, I just don't like it when they shoehorn stuff in. Like, oh yeah, by the way, I learned how to make things invisible.
I hated that.
Maybe I can do it again.
I get that they're trying to do some like fan service and like be like, oh, we're gonna include this. But it's like, you can't just like drop that on everybody.
Yeah.
And also it was funny. I'm watching it and Emily goes, okay, but like flying an airplane through fireworks, like that's not dangerous.
That's
like,
a good idea.
Like that's probably not safe. Like,
especially if you're invisible.
I actually mentioned the Christmas thing to Jim and Luke earlier. So originally this movie was supposed to come out on 4th of July weekend.
Right.
I'm curious, does anybody know if they filmed the last scene afterwards when they found out they were going to release it at Christmas?
I bet you
they were wondering about that.
Probably.
Because that makes sense. It came out on Christmas Day, and they're like, wait, quick, let's throw in the scene, which would make sense why I hated it, because it felt awkward and unnecessary. But that's the only thing I thought.
And also, let me compliment you on this outfit that I put your body in, but you don't know that I put your body in this outfit, but it's my favorite, and, like, you don't know that I've been in your house.
And then she looks at him like, I've seen you naked.
Yeah.
Oh, she did look at him like that, and it was so uncomfortable.
But she couldn't see him. She could only see Chris Pine.
Oh. Right.
But she didn't look at him like, see, I didn't, in the beginning of the movie, when she first encounters him, I did not get the rapey vibes, but then the final scene, I was like,
Can I ask a question? And this is
we're wondering the whole time, like, when is this actual guy going to show up, and when we're going to get some explanation? Is he like some distant descendant of his, and we're gonna there's going to be some reason, and then there's going to be some like they've got to make things right, you know? But no,
what were you going to say, Jim? I have a question. This is, and if I could ask it of the ladies, because it is, it's more of a. It makes me sound like a misogynist pig to ask this question. It really does. So I want to ask it delicately. What was the statement trying to be made that Diana and Minerva, Barbara, every single guy in the movie seemed like a pig. Except for Chris Pine.
True.
Like when the movie opened, Diana was at a function or something. And forgive me for saying it, she was looking so lovely.
Never try to buy one of them a drink, you'll get scowled at.
Yeah, a guy says, can I buy you a drink? No. And then, no. And then walking down the street. Remember there was the scene where they were walking down the street and like four or five guys hit on her. I was like, and I was sitting there thinking, if that's what women have to go through, that's awful. That's awful.
Why she did it.
But I don't remember the 80s being so...
No, that's not the... That's not
you were one of those guys, Jim, with your hair. And...
Yeah,
hey,
that's not a silly 80s thing.
I want you to go first, and then I have an aside to piggyback on the end of that, because I feel like you know something about this.
So I kind of briefly told Jim and Luke earlier, is all women experience the whole catcall, guys complimenting you when you maybe don't want it to be, you know, when you're walking down the street, you don't necessarily want some guy to be like, hey, what's up, that you don't know. It's uncomfortable. And it kind of leaves you like, do I be polite? But I really don't want to talk to you. So in some ways, it is a very realistic thing that happens. Do I think it was good that she made it look like every single man was that way? No, because not every single man is like that way. So I understand the point in which she was trying to make and trying to get a message across that this is a realistic problem. This is a thing women deal with. But it did hit very heavy. So that's my thoughts on it.
Wait, you saying there were some aspects of this movie that were a little over the top?
Oh. So to piggyback off of what Katie just said, I completely agree. It was heavy-handed. However, I'm going to give you a little aside, and then I'm going to step out. New Year's Day. I step outside. I'm in sweatpants. I have no makeup on. I'm taking the dog for a walk. I'm in my ratty Uggs that I've had since I was like 16 years old. And this man in a pickup truck stops in front of our house on the street.
Backs up.
Let me tell it. Excuse you.
I was skipping that part.
I was not skipping that part. I was getting to that part. Anyway. Stops in front of the house, and I clock it, and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to ignore that. Maybe he knows somebody in the neighborhood. I don't know. And then I look down, and I'm like doing something on my phone, and I look back up, and this man has backed his truck up to be in line with our driveway and is like, hey. And I'm like, hi, because this man has backed his truck up at 9:30 in the morning to speak to me. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. He's like, hey, let me talk to you for a second. And I'm just like, what?
You said that?
And I'm not lying here. We live on the we live right next to a main thoroughfare. So some cars started doing donuts like right on the other side of the street. And like I legitimately couldn't hear him. And I was like, sir, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I didn't know if he was gonna be asking me for directions or if he was gonna try to hit on me. I couldn't hear him. And he just goes, never mind, that's all right. And then just like skirts off and away. And I'm just like, what just happened? Like, so yes, yeah, that is something that we women deal with all of the time. It's mm-hmm. not to that extent, but it happens and it's ridiculous. And maybe she put it in there heavy-handedly to really hammer the point home mm-hmm. that, like, this is something that we have all had to deal with from the day, even before any of us got boobs. Like, if we're yep. old enough to walk alone, we're gonna get catcalled. I've been catcalled at 12, at 16, and now I am 33 years old and it happens in front of my own freaking home. So I'm like, great, now this man knows where I live. So
you guys have a big-ass truck. Ben, like, your truck was outside, right? Like, you have a big-ass truck in your yeah. fucking driveway.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon my French. Yo, sorry.
Oh, answered.
Some dude did it to her in the movie theater back in the before times.
Yep.
Yeah.
We were, what was it? We were walking out of the theater to go to the bathroom before the trailer started, mm-hmm. and some big chonky dude like walks in and he looks at Bree and goes, "Very nice." And I was like, "Dude, that's my wife." Yeah. Like, what's your
nice?
And it was really like a leering.
I turn around and I flip him off and I'm like, "Why don't you tell that to my husband?"
Yeah. And I then mean, he just waddled off.
And that's the thing is, I think that I agree with exactly what Bree said is, as much as I understand why that it was heavy-handed, unfortunately, the vague, somewhat subtle things are not going to be obvious and really get the message across to the people who are like that. The people who aren't like that are already know about it. Like, they're not going to be acting like that. Yeah. But the people who do not, it was a way of her putting her message. So I get it because, you know, I'll be at work doing my own thing and people will address me differently and say a term that I'm just like, you know, I had a gentleman at work be like, "Oh, you're Hapa, right? Like, you're half Japanese, right?" And Hapa is a term for half, you know, half Asian. And I'm not offended by that. That doesn't bother me. It's, you know, it's my identity. But then he goes, "Oh, it's impossible to be unattractive when you're half Japanese." And it's like, what, like, I don't know you. Like, this is awkward. Yeah. So, I mean, there's all sorts of things. Like, honestly, it kind of needed to be said.
Katie and I could go back and forth with stories for the yeah. rest of this show. Cause yeah. I'm just like, there was one time where I had to go talk to some guys where I work and they were like, "Oh, the next time they come out to wherever it is that we're based in, they have to bring you." And I was like, "I'm so uncomfortable."
Oh yeah. That was when you were corporate.
Yes. We're not going to talk about where I work.
I said corporate.
I know, but no, that was at my current place, but yeah. my last position. So,
yeah.
So, if it is causing those conversations and having people go, "Wow, is this what women go through?" Then I think that it was an effective technique.
What do you think about this comment here from Stephanie? She said, "I thought they were yeah. trying to show that Diana's goddessness, that people are hyper attracted to her, like almost the presence of her as kind of the character and her power lured people."
It could be that, but the fact that we're having this conversation about how terrible some men can be, I think is great because, like Katie said, not everyone is like that. And I am very much a proponent of if it don't apply, let it fly. So, like, if you're not somebody who does that, don't worry about it. We're clearly yeah, not we're talking good. About you.
Thank
we
you.
Are talking
Thank
about you. The ones that are terrible.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's, and I think it's not so much, forgive me if I'm speaking out of turn.
I'll let you know.
If it's not so much that some men are terrible or that is, I mean, they are. But yeah, some aspects of male-driven culture are terrible and influential in that. And I think mm-hmm. that's very much an illustrative part of it too.
Yeah, that's what I thought she was trying to get. We were discussing, it was me and two other guys were watching it. And it, you know, and we saw it and it started to feel like, huh. Like Diana faced it and then Barbara faced it. And then later there is a scene where they're fighting and they describe the world. She goes, and Diana says, "Our world had to defeat the men." And I was like, and I know, and I'm not, I wasn't offended. I was like, but I wonder, like, there's probably something that's being said because mm-hmm. I don't know. Cause the villainess was a woman. There was something.
We're frozen.
Yeah, but they can still
hear. Oh, okay. I love where I'm frozen at. I have a thought about that. With the whole men versus women, not versus, but there is really something to be said for the fact that men are afraid of being embarrassed and women are afraid of dying. So, so when you go to a bar
and
a man hits on you, you are legitimately terrified about how to handle it because you're like, I'm not interested, but I can't piss him off because he might follow me and he might murder me before I get to my car. That is a legitimate fear that women have. Men are concerned with being embarrassed in that situation. Women are concerned with being murdered.
Yeah.
So with Barbara, when she gets attacked, she's literally afraid of being murdered or taken advantage of or raped or any of the above things that could happen to you as a woman. And so, you know, when she starts to see like, oh, I don't have to be afraid. Oh, I can go for a run and beat somebody up because I don't have to be like, there's also like, hey, women, there's like a Twitter, my brain shut down. I didn't
account?
Take No, there's like a Twitter. Anyway, somebody asked on Twitter, hey, women, if men were not around, what would you do? And women are like, I would put in both headphones and go for a run after dark.
Huh. Interesting.
Like, there's simple things like that that we would do if we didn't have to worry about, well, how am I going to dress so I don't attract too much attention? And let me make sure that I park someplace that's well lit enough that I can walk close enough to go to this store and get back to my car without having to worry about somebody following me. Someplace that's well lit, because everybody's going to say, well, what was I wearing? Where did I park? Why was I alone? Why did I do all these things? Why didn't I walk with keys in between my fingers? And it's like, why are we teaching women all of these things that they should do to not get raped instead of just teaching men, hey, maybe we just don't do that to women.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, many men are taught that, as we've pointed out earlier.
Yeah.
And as you've also said, the trouble is when like it is taught and some people just don't learn it.
Yeah.
So my pickup line shouldn't be, I'm not going to murder you anymore.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's a great
one.
For God's sake.
I mean, you really got to be honest and got to get that out there from the beginning.
Saying, just hey, so you know.
Just so you know. I'm not going to murder you.
Like, for example, I know we don't want to like continue going too far down this rabbit hole because obviously Brian and I could keep talking about it. But like, women, when there's certain bars, there's a bar here in Burbank that literally has a sign in the women's bathroom that says, if you do not feel comfortable, if there is a man making you feel uncomfortable, if you need to walk to your car, say this, ask for this server, and we will know that you need help or you need to call the cops. That should not be necessary.
Yeah. Wow.
There's literally a bar, like, and there's shots you can order, which I'm sure Ben has probably heard of as a bartender. There's like shots that people will order as like a, I need help. This is not a real thing. I need help. Call the cops.
Wow.
And that's not something that should have to happen. And that's why it's awesome that Diana can be like, don't F with me. I can take care of myself. And it's great that she can, but women shouldn't have to be able to defend themselves. And I think that's the main point that Patty, as a female director, was trying to be like, if I have one opportunity to make a statement in this movie, let it be this. Let it be a message that says, this is what women go through. This is the struggles we go through on a daily basis. Even when we are in our sweats with no makeup on, a hair a mess, going to check the mail or walk the dog. Walking the dog is probably the biggest thing. I mean, Emily couldn't go outside her old apartment at 11 o'clock at night to walk the dog. So
my mother is almost 70 years old, y'all. And she had to change up her walking route because a car followed her and stopped while following her three times while on her route.
In broad daylight.
So like, we got problems.
Nope, we're
not great.
Yeah. Well, you know, this conversation actually, I mean, it gives a little bit of context.
I like this, though. I'm having that one.
That's our Christmas card next year.
Picture. At least it's paused on, like, really great places. Like, earlier, you know, Ben did not really care for the movie, but his picture was like, I'm thinking about it.
But like, no, what I was going to say was that we do have to kind of move on here, but yeah. I've loved this conversation, and I was waiting to the podcast today because I wanted to ask these questions because it did hit me a little bit hard last night. But you know what? Maybe that is a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing that, okay. I don't know if that someone else can read that comment and see if we can post it, but,
we'll post it in a second. Yeah.
Okay. I just think it is good for us to have these conversations. I think it, like what Katie said about the bar and Brie, I saw that you were posting about something. I mean, these are conversations that need to be had. And maybe there was a little bit of heavy-handedness in it, and maybe the movie needed a bit more editing, but it wasn't a movie directed by a guy, because the guy would have told those stories differently. So that's why it's important that Patty Jenkins was the one who directed this movie, and she will get many more movies. She's got a Star Wars movie coming up, my friends, and it's going to be great, I think. So,
I'm something real quick about Kristen Wiig, a little in a different direction. I was talking about this last night. I feel like they didn't utilize her comic side as much, where Marvel really would have played into like a well-rounded character with her being such a great comedic actress.
Yeah,
I think they could have given her like a well-rounded, like more well-rounded character, and many of the people on here, including, you know, Ryan's talked about some of these different characters, but like they really could have like utilized her character more so, instead of, you know, sharing both villain things, trying to do kind of like where they're trying to cram too many people in at once. And I just don't think they used her as well as she could have been. I mean, she did a good job.
Like Ben said, Pedro Pascal, love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He did not need to be in this film.
No.
It should have been Kristen. She should have been the villain. She should have been the cheetah. And we didn't need this weird side story of I'm gonna become the wishing stone, and
so it was ridiculous.
Weird. It was real weird.
And
how does she save the day at the end? She gave him a speech?
It was a really bad episode of Doctor Who.
Yeah. Why is that so accurate?
All right, guys, let's do some final thoughts on this. Because we are going long here. Final thoughts on Wonder Woman. Like if we had to say, hey guys, it didn't quite work for us. Here's what we hope they'll do in the next one. Like what can they change up to fix this?
Who's going first?
It was the builder who built his house on the sand. It, you know, it had all the best intentions, but it didn't. It didn't hold up. Under the rain, it didn't hold up. There were a lot of great parts. There was a lot of great stuff about it, but it wasn't a good whole.
I'm getting you a webcam. This is ridiculous.
I know. I need to get a webcam.
I'll send you the link for mine.
Yes, please.
Yes, please, Katie. I will.
Tell us more.
This is a great shot, though.
This is ridiculous. Yeah.
This is my new Facebook profile picture.
I feel like you guys should make that as the new sign outside your place, by the way. Yes. Like,
wait. In this, and may the force be with you.
Ben, were you done on that, or were you?
A lot of great pieces to this. I liked a lot of things. I just didn't care for the movie overall.
Yeah,
and that's sad for me, because I wanted to like it so much. And Bree can tell you, Bree was angry about the movie as we were watching it, and I was trying to actively defend it while we were watching.
He was. I gave up like halfway through, and I 10 out of 10 would not watch again.
10 out of 10?
Would not watch again.
10 out of 10 would not watch, guys.
Yep.
All right, I'm out. I'm stepping away.
Hey, so glad you came. This is
thanks.
Thank you for this lovely picture. We will cherish it forever.
Anything for the cause, y'all.
I've already saved it to my computer. Don't worry.
God. All right, real quick. Ben, Katie, Derek, Luke, closing thoughts. What can they do to fix it for next time?
Go
ahead, Derek. Go ahead.
Okay, just going to say first with this one, it's a little ironic and kind of unfortunate that we were able to talk about all these things this movie was doing about, you know, Diana and Barbara getting hit on and having all of that aspect in there, while the same movie had the other problem we were complaining about, where a man's body gets possessed by the main love interest.
Yeah.
And the movie completely skims over that and never addresses that as an issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's more often a problem for women with these things, but it also happens with men. And just it's not to the same extent, but a lot more often than you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting this out there, I'm 5'6" and 135 pounds. I've had very inappropriate things said to me by both men and women. Mm-hmm. I've been touched in ways that made me uncomfortable by both men and women. And there are some places I don't like to walk alone because I'm 5'6" and 135 pounds. I know a little about how to defend myself, but if you got a group of cougars, I'd be scared for my safety.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh at that.
No,
like, I know it's a little funny the way I'm saying it, but like that's also part of it. Like when you portray this stuff about like men being victims of sexual misconduct, it's usually played for laughs in films,
mm-hmm.
And it is like granted, I don't want to pick apart every little thing in a movie too much because I know what they're trying to do, but they've got all this stuff about women being catcalled while they literally take over a man's body and just like, and act like it's fine. Mm-hmm. And that's, for me, that wasn't even something I thought a whole lot while I was watching it. It is an issue. Mm-hmm. But as far as just the general quality of the movie, like what I loved most about the first one was just the heroism of Diana.
Yeah.
The great thing about that scene in No Man's Land, which the one thing everybody remembers most from the first movie, and it wasn't just how cool it looked. It was the fact that she was taking charge and putting, like, risking herself to go save people. And it was inspiring all these other men around to do the same thing. And that's, you know, my traditional idea about gender roles is not fully traditional, but it's the idea that we're all meant to make each other stronger. And that's what I've loved about Wonder Woman and what I loved about the first movie. And that's what I would like to see them get back to in the third, is just her being a really pure hero, and inspiring the same thing around her. And we didn't get those stand up and cheer moments the same way in this one. And that was the biggest loss.
And thank you for saying that. And then the thing is, just to piggyback off of what Derek just said, mm-hmm. Bree was the one that pointed out to me about the
yes.
man rape and the body possession. And I was like,
yeah,
oh yeah. I didn't
good job, Bree.
And I think that is the thing. Like, I think both you and Jim mentioned that, like, oh, you know, male sexual assault gets played for laughs in movies, but you look at the real life story of Brendan Fraser and why he disappeared from movies for 20 years.
Brendan Fraser, Corey Feldman, Terry Crews.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Crews is like the most recent one, I think. And that story is heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I'm glad that, thank you for bringing that up, Derek. I appreciate mm-hmm. that perspective yeah. as well. And why, and how that's weighed against, because they're both important things. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. like, this one had attention brought to it in maybe a heavy handed, but you know, it's something that needs attention brought to it. And this one, because it's the flip side of the coin in so to speak, kind of got, but a lot of people online are really upset about that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always thought, I never thought about the fact that you're 635 pounds. I just assumed you could beat me up.
He can beat all of
us up. Yeah.
Just keep assuming that.
Katie.
To echo a little bit off of theirs, and then I'll finish with my statement. But, you know, everybody's so focused on the body swap thing, which I understand, Derek, what you're saying about it. And I didn't think about it at first. And so that's eye-opening to me, because, like, again, I don't think about ever being a terrible person to someone. So it's hard for me to see it, just like you guys did with what Bree and I were saying. And in that sense, they missed that opportunity to be like, if a man had written that scene, maybe he would be able to be like, no, we should address the fact that this has happened. You know, and that's something that didn't happen because you had a woman who wrote it. And obviously we did get a good scene on one end and had a good discussion, but how much of the stuff about, like, Jim, you did notice the whole women getting catcalled, that thing, and you noticed that, yeah. But how many people aren't noticing that because they're so hung up on the body swap thing? So in overall, this movie has a lot of talking points, but some talking points are not being as focused on as others. As a tool to teach people, there was some really good moments in the movie. And I'm thankful for that. It's not great. It obviously is not good. I'm not a good critic because I've never really cared for Wonder Woman as some people have. But this is my closing point that I wanted to get across. The reason I don't care for Wonder Woman and have not cared for other female superhero films in general is because when I was younger, they were portrayed very badly. Women were portrayed superheroes, they changed their voice and talked like this and dumbed them down, and they were not portrayed well. And it kind of tainted my view for future female superhero movies. And Wonder Woman was great. I'm not saying the first one was not great. It was. And it did change my outlook a little bit on it. But growing up and not being able to see as many strong female characters as we do now tainted my view now, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to say. So I'm trying not to let that feelings that I have from my past, with the exception of, like, you know, I watched Xena as a kid, but I remember not liking any other female superheroes because even as a kid, I would hear their voices and go, why are they talking like that? Why can't they just talk normally? You know, why are they sounding like they're putting on a gimmick? So it's a transition for me having to be like, and I feel like this movie is kind of taking it a step back a little bit in the sense that it's like, Diana's awesome. Diana's great. Wonder Woman is great. The way she portrays her is great. And it took away those stereotypes for me. But if we can't have a movie that lives up to the male superheroes, are we really succeeding still? We have a long ways to go, is my way of saying
it. I agree. And let's not forget, Thor 2 was not a good film. And then Thor 3 came out of nowhere and saved the universe of Thor. So that it's possible. It is absolutely possible. And this is not an unimportant conversation, but we do kind of.
Yeah. And some people who are writers make good directors. Some directors do not make good writers. I think that's the biggest thing to think about is sometimes I think that's one of DC's biggest problems with the DCEU is they need to focus more on who can write and who can direct and maybe not have them do both.
Also, every great director is made better by good editors. George Lucas was, if he had editors during the prequels, they would look different. Peter Jackson has to have an editor. His movies get too long and way too indulgent. And Patty Jenkins, I think this movie with a good editor, this movie would have felt a lot better with a good editor. And I just want to say this. I know we're kind of coming down hard on it, but let's make sure that when we come down hard on maybe some aspects of the movie, let's not get toxic about DC because, yeah, the first Wonder Woman made me cry just seeing an unapologetically strong and powerful woman on screen. Let's hope this is a sophomore slump and the third is a great like Thor. I agree. And then, but Alicia, she said, got to be honest, I think I like the film more because of the wardrobe and not the storyline, because this is what she said. Wonderful. She loved it. It was amazing. I absolutely loved the movie. The end fight scenes were amazing. I love the look of Barbara at the end. My fave character had to be Alistair. So cute. Oh, Alistair was. Yeah. So, I mean, there's, if you look in Rotten Tomatoes, it has a 74% audience score. So we are kind
of terrible. That's not, as far as reviews on Rotten Tomatoes go, that is not terrible.
Oh, I agree. So I think we have to end on Wonder Woman, but, this has been a great conversation. Ben, please tell Marie we're so glad she was able to join us tonight. When you told us at the beginning of the night she was going to bed, and I was like so disappointed because I knew that she had very strong opinions and I wanted to hear them.
And she heard us talk and she couldn't help but come in.
I feel like she either heard Ben talking and was like, I have thoughts, or she happened to watch the stream and was like, oh, wait, no, this is my cue. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
All right. And we got to do this last part very quick.
Yeah.
And we're going to start with you, Katie.
Okay.
We're going to start with 2020 is in the rear view mirror. Thank God. Yeah. But it had some good things about it. What do we appreciate about 2020?
For me personally, it was a year of discovery, as I think it was for a lot of people, because I had so much time.
Sorry.
Hey, this is not as long as a couple weeks ago.
I know.
That's true.
It was the year of discovery. I think because we all had a lot of time and we all had a lot of time to do absolutely nothing, being at home, we had a lot of time to reflect on our lives and the things that we are, the things that we want to be, and really critique ourselves and find out how we work alone. As a single person, it taught me a lot about how to be alone, how to be okay with being alone because I had to be, if that makes any sense. Yep. So I learned more about myself personally this year than I think I have in my 32 years up until now. And I am very thankful for the growth that I have made personally. My depression took a hit too. We're not going to talk about that. But with it, I also had a lot of moments where I was like, oh, okay, I'm good. It could be worse. As crazy as that is, it could be worse. So, yeah.
Who'd like to go next?
Are we just talking about our general experience of 2020 and what we're looking forward to? Or are we talking about geekdom stuff?
Favorite best parts of 2020 for me, that badass Luke Skywalker was back. We got to see the Luke that many of us wanted to see in The Last Jedi, but we got to see the Luke that we, right after Return of the Jedi, he was at the peak of his powers. Thank God for Favreau and Filoni. My favorite part of 2020 in the nerd world was seeing Luke. I got tears in my eyes watching that episode. Yeah. I just was just beside myself. I was just thinking, there's Luke. He's here to save us.
Oh, chills.
So great. Yeah. And also, Jim, go ahead.
No, I just want to add, I'm with you on that. Like, Mandalorian season 2 was probably my favorite nerdy thing that came out this year that I can remember. Like, Picard came out in January. I was happy to see Picard. wasn't crazy about where they went with the season, but Mandalorian season two, I really loved.
Yeah.
And the ending, like, I've told you, like, our first foster baby that we got in April, we referred to as Baby Yoda because we met him on Star Wars Day. And, like, I know what it's like now to take a child in and love him like your own and then have to see him leave because he's not meant to stay with you. And so I was feeling all of that, along with being happy to see Luke Skywalker, even though it was very uncanny valley and the CGI face was kind of tripping me out. I still like the way they did the story there, and I don't know where they're going to go with it, but I'm really interested to see because I want to see Mandalorian kind of grieving that loss and see how he copes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we get to see Boba Fett. So, you know, I mean, it's funny because I had people who were like, I've never understood why people love Fett so much. I've never understood it. And then season two of Mandalorian happened and they're like, all right. All right. Yeah, valid. So.
Ben, what's the best part of 2020 for you?
Oh, man, I would be remiss if I did not mention that the Con Guy hosted our first San Diego Comic-Con panel in 2020, albeit digital, but still.
Yeah.
We got in the game, Coach. We got in the game.
We did.
And that bodes well for our future as an organization.
Yep.
I think our partnering with that hashtag show is along the same lines. And then I think just on a personal note, being and Derek might be able to relate to this, just being Bree and I's first year of marriage, the second half or just under half of it, or really quarter of it, being forced into quarantine. When we had plans, our honeymoon got postponed. We were supposed to go on it last November, in 2019. And then it got postponed because I was in the movie. I was shooting a movie called The Little Things coming out on HBO Max this year.
Oh, wow.
I'm in 5 seconds of it. But anyway, but I shot this movie. So we decided to postpone our honeymoon till our first anniversary, which is Star Wars Day, yep. May the 4th, as Derek had also mentioned that earlier. Well, you mentioned Star Wars Day. So we were going to go on our honeymoon for our 1 year anniversary, and we ended up doing a crab boil in our kitchen and watching Revenge of the Sith, for our first year anniversary. So we still haven't gone on our honeymoon, but being able to just spend that amount of time with my wife when we would have otherwise been, she would have been working at an office. I would have been working at the bar doing acting stuff, and there would have been a lot of ships passing in the night. And I'm rambling. I apologize. I'm not even drinking tonight. But the fact that we got to spend such a significant amount of the first year and a half to 2 years of our marriage together, and there was a little bumpiness at first because we weren't used to spending so much time together, and then it really solidified us. That was a couple, as a nerd couple, as the con couple, even though we weren't going to cons. That Boba Fett, San Diego Comic-Con, hashtag show, con guy, you guys having a drunk Cameron Gibo on our show at the end of the year.
You see the picture?
That is our first dance at our wedding.
Yes, it is. This is amazing. Ben, that was great.
I rambled. I apologize. I rambled.
Fantastic. No, that's great. Luke, 2020.
I'll try to be quick. Just the ability to kind of interview more people, and even just seeing kind of the stuff Josh Gad did with a lot of the reunions, but us also being able to interview people more from all around the country or even kind of the world at times. When did we do the one with the stunt people from, the Knights of Ren when we got, wasn't that?
It was during the summer because we were at home when we did that.
It was on May the 4th.
Yeah. So it's just amazing the type of guests we got. And we did
that's why I wasn't there for it. Cause
yeah. Greg Nicotero was bringing home this year too.
Greg Nicotero, we interviewed him this year. We interviewed folks from Star Wars. Luke, just like Luke said, it's amazing. But
Jaws?
Yeah, the Jaws anniversary thing was definitely
let me call that out for you guys. Luke and Ben did such an amazing job. Luke pulled together 10 episodes of podcasts during Jaws week. And it was a hard time. It was about killed us as a crew here.
We still have one more episode to release probably in the next week or two here.
And we just couldn't fit it in. And then Luke and Ben especially, they just like boned up on all their Jaws stuff. And we had a whole week of Jaws podcasts and then a couple more during, you know, when we were celebrating Shark Week. That was one of the highlights of my time here on the show. That was fantastic. And I don't know if we would have been able to do that if things had been different and we were all not able to sit at home during the week, you know? What else, Luke?
Well, speaking of Jaws, being its 45th anniversary, all sorts of cool little knickknacks came out. This was what I got from my cyber shopping thing, and this really cool shirt from basically Jaws 2.
Oh, that's cool.
But having that and Back to the Future both celebrating these anniversaries, and that 4K, here's the little hoverboard thing. It's like this magnetic
hoverboard
floating. That's cool. Cool.
Just having all these fun knickknacks and stuff coming out with these anniversary stuff has been pretty cool for me.
And I'm going to wrap this up right here real quick. Joining the hashtag show network, Ben, thank you so much for introducing us to them. That, to me, was a highlight of the year. That was so good. Also, joining the ESO network of podcasting, that's thank you so much, guys. That's a big deal for us. And then we had our biggest podcast ever that put together by Luke, hosted by Ben, with Cameron Gibo and the whole Power Ranger team. Yeah, guys, I mean, that was fantastic. We got over 30,000 people kind of looking at that. That was a great show for us. And I just hope we have many more to come. So in that vein, real quick, what are we looking forward to in 2021? Katie, this is it.
Maybe we should do this as we close.
We can do it as we close.
Okay, this is how we close. Yeah.
Do you want me to say like where you can find me and then I'll say what I'm looking forward to?
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. I'm Katie, aka KT underscore Christine, as you can see on, I'm getting better at this right here, on all social media, including Twitch later on tonight. What I'm excited about is it goes along with what was good about 2020, and that is Twitch. I discovered Twitch. I got on Twitch. It's been a really awesome way to network and just an awesome community most of the time. And I have been making some plans on how to better my content for 2021 on Twitch, and I'm really, really stoked about it. I'm going to be doing some theme days where everything is like, my first theme day is actually going to be in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, because it's Tuesday, not Monday, where it's going to be a 90s theme. I'm playing a 90s game. I'm going to be a 90s and a song ensemble. I'm going to give away 90s type prizes. So I'm really just excited about being able to expand my content creating side. Of course, the Con Guy is also along with that. I know all of us are excited to hopefully eventually be able to get to a studio again. So things like that. So I'm just continuing on this journey of self-discovery and hopefully coming out on top of it. So
fantastic. Derek.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to these movies that have multiple Batman and multiple Spider-Men in them. I'm looking forward to being able to get together and go to real conventions again, hopefully. I mean, we'll see what the parenting situation looks like for us. There's endless possibility, and I think that's exciting. And I'm looking forward to doing more of this with you guys.
Mm-hmm. I would love you, Derek. Cheese men.
I'm just looking forward to what kind of guests we'll be getting, you know, this year and just more type things we are going. And I'm also, I know I've been Mr. Product this show. I didn't know how big this freaking tiki mug would be, this Mondo Jurassic Park thing. This
how
thing
much is that? Enormous. Holy.
I'm excited to, I don't think I could drink a drink this big.
Don't drink Kool-Aid out of that.
We got a T-Rex.
We have a
giant freaking T-Rex. Jurassic Park tiki mug. This thing is probably one of the coolest tiki mugs I've ever gotten.
Is that the one where you were like, should I buy this? And I was like, yes, you should.
Ben encouraged me to do this, but this
maybe
is
that
really
can
cool
be like, you know, smoothies and, you know.
Yeah, I'll just drink a giant smoothie out of this. But
not Kool-Aid.
Yeah. But yeah, you can find me here at Cheese on Couch on both Twitter and Instagram and using this lovely tiki mug.
All right, Ben.
Hey, everyone. It's me, old buddy Ben Cleaver. And as always, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at, did I do it right? Yeah, I did it right.
Yeah.
BenKleiwer. Ben Cleaver. Easy to say, hard to spell. What I'm looking forward to, real quick, I've mentioned this on the show before. I found a job, fortunately, as an actor and an artist, a guy who's not using his bachelor's degree at all. I, of course, was working as a bartender, working as an actor. None of that's happening. I was fortunate enough to find a job with the Los Angeles County Department of Public Health as a contact tracer. I spend my days, 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, calling people who have tested positive for COVID-19. And while it is a job, it's government work, so it's guaranteed work, it's guaranteed paycheck, and that is very, very fortunate and a blessing for me. I do spend my days trying to comfort and help people who are sick during this time. And some people are suffering, some people aren't. And one thing I'm looking forward to is while this job is very rewarding and I feel like I am able to help in some small way in an utterly helpless situation, seemingly, I am looking forward to the day when my job is no longer required.
Yep.
And in much the same way Derek was saying, I'm looking forward. I don't know what we're going to get to go to this year. I don't know if Ren Faire is going to happen. I don't know if Wasteland is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know if San Diego or WonderCon or LA Comic Con, although LA Comic Con and Wasteland are the same weekend now. But anyway, I don't know if any of that's going to happen this year. This might be a limbo year where we're just kind of trudging up out of the swamp, and then 2022 might be the year when we get back into it. But we'll see. Hopefully we can get back together and do something. I'm looking forward to having a beer with you guys, like with Katie, Derek, and Jim and Luke, and Danae, who texts us about how much wine she drinks. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to getting back up out of the muck. I'm looking forward to my job not being necessary anymore, and I can go back to being a bartender.
Mm-hmm. And an actor.
And an actor, of course. That's what I'm looking forward to. And seeing you guys, your faces in person and touching your cheeks.
Yeah. Maybe
not. Please don't do that.
Yeah, that'll be weird.
I look leg wrestle, I'll do, but don't touch my cheeks.
Okay.
Brad had to say, Luke, that looks hella creepy. And that Tiki Mug looks like a gremlin and a dinosaur had a baby.
Those are two separate statements. He was just saying that Luke looks hella creepy, and then the Tiki Mug looks...
Oh, gotcha.
Just kidding.
Beer, you mean Casavega margarita?
Until I put water on.
That's the dream, Brad. My margarita.
That is the dream.
It wasn't a margarita. It was a White Claw with tequila, but we're going to call it a margarita.
So you can find me on Twitter at JimFryLA. You can find me on Instagram at JamesDFry. Follow us here on The Con Guy. Ben, what is in your hand?
Hey, you wonder why I'm always drinking out of this red cup? Well, it's because
always wondering.
It's because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party.
Oh, Katie and I always have these butterbeer cups because when we're around, it's always magic.
All right, guys, calling the Whoopi Goldberg. This party is over. The bar is closed.
I froze again
all the night. Love you guys. This has been a great show. One thing I look forward to in the new year: shorter episodes.
Okay. Luke, we'll see again.
One topic we'll show.
What is that, Luke?
It's a hoverboard.
It's hoverboard.
Oh, it actually hovers.
Yeah.
Magnet.
All right, guys. Happy New Year 2021. Like Ben said, for those of you who pray, let's pray. And for those of you who hope, which is all of us, let's all hope that this is the year we're getting out. And let's end on the face. That's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. Another great one.
Love it. All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Good night.
Bye. Happy New Year.